Let's open our Bibles, please, in the book of Romans in the chapter 8, a familiar passage of God's Word. Romans chapter 8. Thank you for that word of testimony to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our brother Nelson's life. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord," or love God, "to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. You and I join tonight in this congregation, in this service of remembrance, remembering the sacrifice of so many. And we as a nation and we as a congregation must never forget the sacrifice of those that gave their lives so that we might have the liberty and the freedom to gather in the house of God tonight. And whilst we come and gather and honor them, let us never forget the one who sacrificed himself upon the cross of Calvary to cleanse away our sin. I often think about the countless young men and women in the bloom of youth that they were willing to go and join the forces and go to stand in the gap for freedom. And they stand for queen and country, and many have paid the supreme sacrifice. In the fields and theaters of operation, the First and Second World Wars in our own province for the years of our terrorist campaign, and also in Iraq and Afghanistan. They spared not themselves that we might have this freedom. But I want us to think of a verse of God's word tonight. It's verse 32 of Romans chapter 8. It says, "He that spared not his own Son." He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, there are many great verses in the Bible that you can remember. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Who doesn't know that verse? My, what a verse of the love of God. And yet there are many wonderful chapters. For example, Psalm 23, where the psalmist proclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd." That personal experience of knowing the Lord. But one of those special chapters to me is Romans chapter 8. Opens with those lovely words. And my friend, as you walk through this wonderful field of promises and blessing. It opens with these words, "There is therefore now no condemnation to us in Christ Jesus." Notice, there's therefore now no condemnation, but it's for a special people, to them which are in Christ Jesus. I remember some years ago a man coming to my home. He traveled a long distance to talk to me about problems that he had in his life, and they were pressing him down. Remember at the end of our conversation, he said to me something like this. He said, "Mr. McRae, doesn't it say somewhere in the Word of God that it'll all work out for good?" I said, "Friend, I never read that." "Oh," he said, "Mr. McRae, I was speaking to another minister, and that's the verse he gave me. And surely it has to be there." And I says, "I'm sorry, I didn't read those words." I said, "I'll tell you, there is a verse, Romans 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good." He says, "Sure, that's what I'm talking about." I said, no, friend, listen to me. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, society, that poses a question. Are you in the verse? Are you one of those that love God and that are called according to his purpose and know God's salvation in Jesus Christ? Because if you know not the Lord, if you do not love the Lord, then you're not in this verse. All things work together for good, friend. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? It'll all work out, sure. It'll all work out for my good. But friend, if you're not in the verse, then you can't claim the promise. It's only those that love God. And you will not love the Lord if you do not obey his commandments. And if you do not obey his commandments, friend, listen, he commands you that all men everywhere needs to repent and must repent. The Lord Jesus said, "Repent and be converted." He said, "Repent ye, that your sins might be blotted out." But men and women love their sin and will not turn from their sin, but they want the comfort of the verses. Yes, they want the comfort of the scriptures, friend. My, how lovely it is to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And whenever tragedy comes, and whenever the preacher reads that verse, and you say, "You know, that's a lovely reading of the preacher," friend, let me ask you this. But is he your shepherd? Is he? You see, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But if he's not your shepherd and savior, friend, then you will be in want. And the greater tragedy is not only that you would be in want in time, but you would be in want for all eternity. Now, the Word of God says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." You see, the Bible makes it very clear that there's two standings for man. He's either out of Christ or he's in Christ. Either the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you're doing as our brother said in the meeting tonight, you are resting upon Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. The only way to heaven, friend, is not via the church. It's via the old rugged cross. It's via the cross of Christ where Jesus died for sinners. And thank God for the grand old gospel, and here's a wonderful truth. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Notice the time, friend. There is therefore now no condemnation. And when a man or a woman, a young person, receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, friend, thank God we can say that moment that we rest our soul upon the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God the condemnation's removed. We're no longer condemned. You see, the Bible says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." But thank God when you believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your personal Savior for the salvation of your soul, then praise God, you can say, "Yes, I'm his. He's mine. And there's therefore now." At this moment, I want to say something tonight very simple, and yet, friend, I think it's profound. Listen, because of what Jesus Christ did for me, I will never be lost.
My soul will never go to hell. I will never die in my sin, though I have many failings. And sad to say, many times I have failed my Lord. But praise God, I'm getting to heaven, not what I have done for Jesus. But I'm getting to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. That's the truth of the gospel. And friend, it's so simple. It's so simple. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but the blood of Jesus Christ washed me white as snow. Go down very quickly. Go to verse 31. It says there in verse 31, who shall lay, or who shall, or what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against? It doesn't say that nobody will be against us. It doesn't say that. In life, you and I will know many enemies along the way. The Bible says the last enemy which shall be destroyed is death, and we will face many an enemy along the journey. And there will be men and women that will oppose us. But let me tell you, my friend, what the Word of God says here, it is, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God no one will be successful in opposing my security in Jesus Christ. I am saved tonight. I am saved because of what Christ did for me. And there's none can pluck me out of his hand. The Word of God says that. There's none shall separate us. That's what it says there in that verse. Who shall separate us? I am persuaded, says Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Yes, there are many against us. But there's none can separate us from our Savior. There's none can take me out of his hand. Because Jesus says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Let me tell you, I'm safe tonight, not because I'm holding on to Jesus, but thank God it's because of his hold on me. I am in his hand. Look at verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can bring a successful charge against a child of God? Somebody on earth? Somebody in hell? The devil himself. The Bible says the devil's the accuser of the brethren. Read Revelation. Friend, and this is what the Bible says, that the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Revelation 12:10. And one day he'll be cast into hell itself. It is God that justified. We have already been justified, listen, in the highest court. My case has been heard. And thank God it has been heard in the highest court. And it says in God's word, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Yes, the devil can point out to many faults and failures and sins. When I have failed my master, and I say that with grief in my heart, but thank God, not the devil in hell himself can lay a charge against the elect of God. Why? Because it is God that justifies. Have you that comfort tonight? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know, my friend, that whatever happens in your life, that all is well? When Anne and I were over in America there during our holidays, and there was a group of young American soldiers were killed. A group of them were killed in Afghanistan. And you know, in that tragedy, they interviewed a granny. And she was one of the grannies of one of the soldiers. And just after the happening, they interviewed her and asked her, how did you feel? And she said this in the interview. She said, my grandson, before he went back to the field of theater and operations in Afghanistan, he says, Granny, know this. that if anything happens to me, I'm going home to Jesus. It's well with my soul. And friend, that granny on that program on television witnessed to the whole of the United States of America that her grandson was saved and ready for glory. It's a lovely thing when you can climb the stairs at night and put your head on the pillow, friend, and know that all is well. And if the Lord should call, Christ should come, you're ready to go. You're under the blood. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then look at verse number 35. It says this, who shall separate us from the love of God? You know, there are people tonight in the field, there's nobody cares. Nobody cares. Now, there's young people lying on the streets of Belfast and the cities across this province and even in Macrofelt. And let me tell you this. They feel hopeless and helpless that nobody cares. They've given up hope. And yet, thank God tonight, listen, I will never, ever be out of God's love. I think that's an amazing thought. No matter what I have to face, friend, no matter how many tears I shed, no matter how many valleys I walk through, no matter how many mountains I climb in life's experience, there will never a day come when I rise in the morning when I'm out of God's love. There'll never be a night that falls when I place my head on the pillow tired and weary of the battle of the day, when I'll be out of God's love, because who shall separate us from the love of God? You know, Paul said, shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness, shall peril, shall sword? Nay, in all these things, more than conquerors. I say this honestly tonight. I'm glad when I was a boy of 8 years of age that I heard the gospel of the redeeming grace of God. And I'm glad that I had the privilege of calling on Christ to save my soul. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Fame will pass. Popularity will go. All that the world has got to offer, someday you've got to leave behind. But Jesus never fails. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't have to be afraid. Friend, I'm not afraid to die. And I'm not afraid to live either. Because thou art with me. Lord Jesus, my shepherd, always with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Tell me, what's the basis of all of this? What's the basis of my hope? Look at verse 34 as we come to a close. It tells us there, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, we have all these things in Christ. In Christ. Friend, if you're trusting in the church to get to your heaven, I want to tell you this. Even this denomination that you're sitting in tonight, this church cannot save you. If you're trusting in the preacher to get you to heaven, this preacher cannot save you. I couldn't save myself. Say, preacher, well, where's your hope? In Christ. In Christ. I always think of those words, you know, he that spared not his own son. Always think of Abraham when God said to Abraham, he says, take thy son, thine only son Isaac. Told him to go to Mount Moriah and there offer his own son upon the altar. And as Abraham and Isaac make their way that morning, you see, they walk 3 days from that time. For God told them to go the next morning. He got up and his servants and they made their way to go to Mount Moriah, and for 3 days. They walked together. What was going through Abraham's mind those 3 days? Take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. And yet they walked together. And then they came to the bottom of the mountain. And I can see Abraham, he looks up there and he realizes up on that mount, he's going to sacrifice his son, for God has told him to do it. He loved him. But he's going through with God, even unto death. And they walk up that mountain together, and the boy looks and he says, Dad, I see the fire, I see the wood, I see the knife. Dad, tell me, where's the sacrifice? Oh, what must have been in Abraham's heart? He says, lad, God will provide himself a lamb. They set the altar up. They put the fire, wood in place. Abram reaches forth to his son. He's about 15 years of age. And he takes him and he says, son, God has told me to put you on the altar. And he laid him on the altar and God says, lay not thine hand upon the lad. And God spared Abram's son. Listen to me carefully, friend. God spared Abram's son, but the verse here says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God loved his son. But God loves sinners like you and me. There was no other way that God could provide. A just and holy God could provide salvation for sinful man. And so the Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. He came down to the sin-cursed scene of time. And one day he went to Calvary. And there Jesus shed his precious blood for him to take away your sin and mine. The word of God, I understand this. God said he spared not the angels of sin, but they are reserved in chains of darkness, waiting for the judgment. I can understand that, for they sinned against God. God tells us he spared not the old world in the days of Noah. For man had sinned against light and against God. And when God looked upon mankind, there was nothing else, only sin. And the Bible says it grieved God to his heart when he looked upon the sin of man. I wonder what the heart of God feels when he looks upon Ulster tonight. And the sin of the United Kingdom with all the gospel heritage that we have. And yet we have turned our back on God. The Bible says he spared not the old world, but God sent the flood, swept them all away. I understand that. For the wages of sin's death. It says that God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. And instead of that, God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and they sent the fire from heaven and destroyed the cities of the plain. And I can understand that. because they sinned against the God of heaven grievously. But then he says, God spared not his own son, friend, and I must confess. Why would God not spare a son? The Bible says he delivered him up for us all. I tell you, your love tonight, if you could only understand it, how much God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, during the war in Vietnam, there was a young West Point graduate, and he was sent to lead a group of young recruits into battle. And he did his job well, trying to keep them from the ambush and keep them from death. One night when they were under attack, he got all his young men to safety, bar one. And one soldier was left behind. He was severely wounded. And from their trenches, that young lieutenant and his men could hear that young soldier crying in pain. They knew attempts to save him, even if they were successful, would mean death for the would-be rescuer. And eventually the young lieutenant could take the cries of that young soldier left wounded and dying. He could take it no more, that he crawled on the ground until he got to the young dying man. And he got to him in safety, but he was killed before he could save him. Sometime later, the young man that was rescued, the young lad was rescued, but the young lieutenant had lost his life. And so the lieutenant's parents heard that the young man was in the vicinity. They wanted to see the young lad whom his son had saved. He'd lost his life for. And so they invited him to his home, to their home. And the young man came home to the young lieutenant's parents. The young man staggered in drunk, sat at the table telling jokes that nobody wanted to hear. To be honest, he was obnoxious as he sat there with no gratitude at all for the sacrifice of the man who gave his life for him. And so the grieving parents, they did their best to make the man as welcome as possible, the visitors worthwhile, and then he left. And as the dad closed the door behind that young soldier, the mother fell in tears and she said these words, "To think that our precious son died for somebody like that. Totally unworthy." Friend, listen to me carefully. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing lovely about us, because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But oh, the love of God, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't leave the meeting tonight, friend, without realizing how precious you are to God. Listen to these words again as I finish. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? If you know the Lord tonight, let me tell you, You have riches that all the exchequers of the world could never buy. And you have a gift that man can never pay. Can I ask you a question? Do you know God's Son? Have you personally put your faith and trust in what he did at the cross of Calvary? Friend, there is no other way. There is no other hope. And I think of young men that spared not their lives, and young women, and they spared not their lives, that you and I can have this liberty to come to the house of God tonight. But I thank God that God did not spare his Son, but he gave him a ransom for the many. Let's pray.